It's a pleasure to welcome you all to the second First Ladies Summit of the Non-Aligned Movement on Food Security and Women's Access to Resource. Today's meeting comes as a follow-up to the landmark summit we held in Sharm el-Sheikh last July on women and crisis management, where the global food crisis figured prominently in all our discussions. Today, our convening is also a testament of our determination to maintain the momentum we created in Sharm el-Sheikh and collectively help to address grave challenges facing all of our societies. And it is also of great significance to our cause to be holding this meeting in conjunction with the World Summit on Food Security, for it gives us women a unique opportunity to ensure that our needs, our perspectives are heard and integrated in the national and international policies for action. Allow me to start, therefore, by expressing my appreciation to the Food and Agriculture Organization and to personally thank Dr. Jack Diouf for the outstanding support he has demonstrated towards our initiative. Let me also say how delighted I am to welcome President John Kufuor, the former president of Ghana. President Kufuor, it is a great pleasure to have you with us today. Excellencies, dear sisters, and guests. All of us here present fully recognize the centrality of enhancing food security as a prerequisite to achieving security and stability for all our nations. Food security, as we all know, is now recognized as a fundamental human right, the right to enjoy an active and healthy life, the right to live in freedom and in peace. And yet, as we all know, for so many in this world, this right seems utterly unattainable. FAO estimates that the total number of the undernourished in our world is more than a billion, indeed, a record in mankind history. And as we all know, women and children in the developing world are the first to pay the price. Moreover, the world is not protected from the impact of future crises, especially those that could come as a result of climate change and strained natural resources, including water scarcity, which is already a major problem in many of our countries. Hunger and food insecurity are definitely on the march. They are trampling the rights, the hopes, the dreams, and the lives of all that they touch. Today, hunger and food insecurity constitute perhaps the most daunting and pressing threats to humankind, and in particular, womankind. Women represent 70% of the world's hungry. Indeed, hunger destroys millions of lives in the developing countries. It renders us vulnerable to disease. It stunts child development and creates lifelong disadvantages. Hunger also intensifies the challenge of poverty. It breeds violence and chaos, and it leaves our achievements in development both incomplete and unsustainable. This situation is morally unacceptable. Solutions to this issue must not only respond to the common dictates of our conscience, but should transcend it to include immediate and concerted action in which women occupy a central place and be the main beneficiary thereof. It is in this spirit that I hope we will conduct our deliberations today, benefiting from the diverse group of distinguished participants present and the rich expertise they embody. Excellencies, time is definitely not in our hands. There is little evidence that our collective global response so far has risen to the level of the challenge at hand. How far, for example, have we reached in realizing the MDG 1 of halving hunger in the world by 2015? We still need to deepen our knowledge of the problem and find solutions to address all the stages of food insecurity, whether chronic, seasonal, or transitory. This entails not only expanding investments on food production, but more to the point of enhancing the affordability, and accessibility of adequate, nutritious, and safe food. Food security is as much about access as it is about production. So special efforts are required to ensure that all have access to the food that is produced. No country will be able to provide all its needs, and that is why we need a fair and equitable trading system where sudden price increases are dampened by well-structured policies of buffer stocks. We also need the international community to ensure that emergency food aid is available in sufficient quantities to face the increasing demands and sudden crisis that we will inevitably confront in the coming years. Indeed, the global food crisis has cast a spotlight on the many vulnerabilities and paradoxes of the world's food system, particularly in relation to women. And this is why I think our meeting here is so important, because we need to address the social, gender, environmental, technical, and economic dimensions of the crisis and transform our developmental policies to investing more in the power of our people and especially in the untapped potential of our women. Because of the key role that women can play in solving the food security issue, we need to gain a more profound understanding of the constraints they are facing in their daily lives. Whether we are talking about property rights, agricultural credit, or access to education, knowledge, and technology, the existing gender gaps are persistently hindering the development of women and subsequently of their nations. Yes, rural women play a crucial role in increasing agricultural production, but more efforts are required to ensure that our national statistics fully reflect women's invisible contribution. They are often considered non-entities in economic statistics, and I believe that their contribution to the world's actual productivity should be fully acknowledged worldwide. After all, women are not dependents, but rather major producers, and as we know, women produce between 60 to 80% of the food in most developing countries and are responsible for half of the world's food production. So we need to deal really with the local problems and empower women farmers to assist them in the entire cycle of production, distribution, and preparation, to channel the gender perspective in the provision of productive resources, information, and credit, and to support the role of women in decision-making from local to national and international levels as well. We know in our society, I know many of the women leaders who are here today realize that we need to train effectively, to train women effectively, and to raise awareness about the connection between health and nutrition, thus ending the pervasive incidence of what is now called the hidden hunger and translate food security into nutritional security. And finally, because women have practical knowledge of the local ecosystems, we need to enhance their ability to contribute to the sustainable management of the natural resources, including the adverse effect of climate change on food productivity. So in face of such monumental challenges, our cooperation and determination must be unwavering. There is also a real and present need for us to help bring questions of hunger and rural development to a broader audience in our own countries, to mobilize partners from every sector of our own societies to participate in the process of change. And more, we must join in a call that mobilizes the creation of regional and global partners that include governments, the private sector, scientific research groups, NGOs, and individual participation. All are stakeholders in avoiding the catastrophic outcomes. And this is why we are gathered here together, to share best practices on reducing hunger from our own national experiences, and to identify practical solutions to the problems we face. Our two respective panels will address these issues in detail. Among others, success stories from my own country will be shared with you during the course of this meeting, such as the FAO Telefood projects in Egypt, the role of the Egyptian Social Fund for Development in facilitating women's access to credit and know-how, undertaking capacity building activities for African and Asian experts, and also learning from successful international experiences in development, as those from Indonesia, Malaysia, and India. Both the Telefood projects and the Social Fund development constitute vivid examples of effective partnerships, and they can be duplicated, I'm sure, in any society. In this regard, I look forward to hearing from you about the most recent developments that your countries have undertaken. And I would like to end with one final message, and that is that all of our collective and national aspirations, whether we are talking about economic and social development, welfare and prosperity, peace and security, will never be sustainable as long as women's rights and their participation in these key areas are not fully recognized and ensured. Our role here today as first ladies and as leaders and professionals in their own right in this endeavor is essential and cannot be overemphasized. Women's voice and aspirations must be heard. They must be supported and empowered in their struggles. Our objective is to come together to take effective joint action on the basis of our deliberations and to send a strong, clear, and united message to the heads of states and government at the World Summit of Food Security.